Good morning, church family. How are we today? Glad to see you guys. I'm going to get out of the way now because I almost forgot first service. I'm going to welcome those tuning in online. Welcome our friends at Cumberland County Jail. And for any guests in the house, we're glad you're here. We're going to celebrate all of you this morning. We're going to celebrate all of you this morning. Yay! Hey, I've got two really special people to me here on the platform. Marcel and his wife, Diane Veilleux. We're so glad that they're up here and we have some exciting news. Marcel has been serving on our team for the better part of 2 months as a host here at the Point Community Center in a part-time role, loving on people in Jesus' name. And we've been in a space where we're trying to find new leadership for the Point as we reposture and continue to engage Greater Portland with this community center we have. And God made it abundantly clear we'd love to have Marcel lead the charge here at the Point Community Center as the new director. And so Marcel is being announced today as the director of The Point. Marcel is doing an incredible work working with our current hosts, our staff team, and understanding as we continue to move toward the kingdom here in this space that Marcel is at the helm and he's better understanding what it's gonna take to be able to engage Greater Portland. And so his wife, Diane, super sweet. They both love the Lord, have been in ministry for 4 years here in the Southern Maine area, and we're just glad to have them on our team making an impact with East Point Christian Church. So I'm gonna pray for them because I forgot to pray first service. So we're gonna give them a double blessing today. So feel free to reach your hand out and we're just gonna pray over them as they start this journey. Father, I thank you so much. Just grateful for the way you work, the way that you've knit these relationships together for years, and you've brought about this incredible vision and opportunity to continue the mission of The Point, for Marcel to take the baton from Meredith, to continue running the same race as we see this community center that you birthed, Lord, flourish more and more as we continue to pour resources and people and see this place as a mission field. Lord, thank you for Marcel. Thank you for Diane, their hearts for you and the people of Southern Maine. And we look forward to all you have in store in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys. Oh, I love you guys. Thanks so much. All right. And I just want to highlight, because there's some people, every week we meet more people that have become a part of this church family in the last 6 months, last 12 months, last 18 months, couple years. And many of us remember 7 years ago, we cast a vision for this community center. Some of you might not have been around for that. You just think we decided to fit out a 90,000 square foot church with a turf soccer field and a basketball court. That'd be kind of irresponsible. We built a community center to be given as a gift to Greater Portland, and we mean that. This place is open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, 9 to 3 on the weekends. This is a space where we want to host Greater Portland so we can begin to have a conversation with people about Jesus. Many of you are in this auditorium today because you first used The Point as a community center. Some people walk in and they see the 30-foot ceilings and they see the turf soccer field, and the first words out of their mouth are, "This is a church?" And the second is, "What am I feeling? What is that? What's going on in here?" And we all know it's the power of the Holy Spirit working on the hearts of men and women. We've seen tens of thousands of people pour through this building, whether it be for a large-scale funeral for one of our service members or one of our local law enforcement or firefighters or through supervised visits with moms or dads trying to see their children and trying to fix the messes that have been caused in their past, or whether it's birthday parties or hosting Cumberland County Sheriff's Office and the training they're having, or all of these things that we do here, we do because this is the greatest missional sandbox we could build. We want to reach Greater Portland with the gospel. We want to reach people in Jesus' name, and what better way than to have open doors to welcome people with hosts that see themselves as missionaries. This is what I'm grateful for with Marcel and Diane and our entire team that serves at The Point. They embody what it looks like to be hospitable and missional. They understand the vision. And so we're going to talk more about The Point Community Center throughout this series. The Being Sent, Living on Mission is the name of the series. And we're going to talk about what it means to simply be sent on the other side of those doors throughout the week, Monday through Saturday. Maybe God's going to call you to join that team and to be a part of the reach that it has. Or maybe God's going to call you and give you an assignment to invest in your family in a more focused way with discipleship and raising children up. Maybe God's going to give you an assignment in your workplace or in your neighborhood or where you do recreation, whether it's in a club or a sports team or whatever God has in front of you. This whole series is focusing on being sent in Jesus' name. And some of us were like, well, what does that matter? We gather, we come, sending. We want to come, we want to be here. And what I want to highlight is there was a family that was sent by Jesus that 20 years ago was in a camper in Wasomsky Springs Campground praying for you all. Just look around in this auditorium. Look at all the people gathered in here. A first service that was jam full of people 20 years ago. This was simply just a vision of what God was going to do in Greater Portland. That the Taubies packed their lives up, sent in Jesus' name to reach Mainers with the gospel. And today we have thousands of people gather here week after week worshiping Jesus. Is that not a miracle in and of itself? That we're recipients of the obedience of people that saw themselves as sent people. And today we've sent many into the mission field. We've sent many into ministry. We've sent many a student into other areas of influence. We send people every single week back into their lives. We are a sent people because we live under the commission of our Savior Jesus. Jesus has a mission for his church, and it wasn't meant to be an organization. It was never meant to be an institution. It was meant to be a movement beyond these walls. We gather here on Sunday, on the Lord's Day, to celebrate his resurrection, to celebrate the goodness of God in our lives, to celebrate what he's doing in our midst throughout the week. But we must be sent from here into Monday, to Tuesday, to Wednesday, all through the week, living as sent people, missional people, trying to reach Greater Portland, Southern Maine, the state of Maine with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. This whole series is going to be teaching towards sending, equipping towards sending, demonstrating, practicing even what it means to be sent people that live lives of mission, empowered by Jesus and equipped by the local church to see his movement continue in Greater Portland. And I want to frame the whole series with two commands that Jesus gives his disciples. He sits there with his disciples in Matthew 28 after all that's happened, after his life, his death, his burial, 3 years of walking with Jesus, seeing him crucified on the cross, and then the risen Savior, nail-scarred hands before them. And this is what he says to them. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Look at these holes. I've paid the price for it. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Therefore, this for him, this isn't simply like, so go start a discipleship making factory. He's saying, no, as you go about your ordinary lives, as you go about your walk, as you are commissioned into this life, as you go, make disciples, make followers of Jesus. Don't grab a curriculum or a program and expect the church to do it. No. If you're a follower of Jesus, this is part of following Jesus, as we make disciples. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus is looking at the same group of people, and he's recorded as saying, well, the disciples asked Jesus when he comes to him, Lord, are you going to at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Right? They're expecting, hey, we want power, we want influence, we want Israel to have their kingdom back. We want the government to be established by you, Jesus. Jesus' response to them may have disappointed them a bit. He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you fishermen, you tax collectors, you ordinary men, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. East Point Christian Church, for those of us who consider ourselves followers of Jesus, for those of you sitting in this auditorium, Jesus has commissioned you to go and make disciples throughout the state of Maine. He's commissioned you to be a witness in Portland and in Maine and even Massachusetts. These areas that we don't expect, that we don't get our eyes beyond the things in our life that can cloud us out. Jesus is calling us to so much more. He's calling us to live into a commission, a vocation, if you will, the what we're made for, even in our occupation of whatever we are, teacher, executive, corner office dweller, factory line worker, student. Jesus is calling you to be a witness and to make disciples in those spaces. In our neighborhoods, wherever we live in Westbrook or Windham or Cape Elizabeth or Falmouth or Gorham, wherever we are, make disciples, be witnesses, living as the movement of Jesus Christ, not simply being members of a church. Jesus has a movement for us. He's building his church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Are we on the move with him this morning? Are we going to be on the move with him this summer as we try to reach, continue to reach Greater Portland, Southern Maine, the entire state, in Jesus' name? And so I just want to share some statistics because I think this is quite enlightening for us. We drive around New England and we see all these beautiful white buildings with steeples on them, and we all know them as a church, right? Many of them have turned into museums and galleries, community buildings. Where's the church? And I'm not talking about the pew dwellers necessarily, though I think it's important to gather. I know it's important to gather for worship on a weekly basis. I'm talking about the convicted followers of Jesus whose lives are given over to him to follow him no matter what. Just as Bree said, regardless of the troubles in this world, I'm going to take heart because Jesus has overcome them. I'm going to follow him regardless of circumstances, regardless of building, regardless of steeple. I'm going to be the church. Those people represent 5% of the population in New England. To give you a reference point, anything less than 4% is considered an unreached people group. So we are on the verge here in Maine, here in New England, we're on the verge of becoming an unreached people group. Pretty soon, they're going to start sending missionaries to translate Mainer into a Bible language. There's going to be a bunch of A-H's at the end of every single word. What do you mean, main ah? What is lobster? What? We're going to have missionaries coming from Korea and from China and from Guatemala to come to Maine to help us save people. Hallelujah. Amen. That we have people with conviction that live in other parts of the world that we're not sending our people to. They're sending their people to us because we're a lost people. And yet here we sit on Sunday mornings in this auditorium, and do we see our region as an unreached people group to be missionaries in? If you ask Scott and Beth Taube, their greatest desire after 20 years, it would be that they raised up Mainers as nationals, as people from this region to reach other Mainers. They came to help establish what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus, what it meant to yield our lives to the Bible, what it meant to pray. But that wasn't simply it. It was so that other Mainers would come to know Jesus. The vision God sent them with was the river of God's presence flowing eastward from his temple, that as the river increased in measure, that so would the lives increase in people and here in the eastern regions. That was Scott. Me, I'm a Mainer, and I want to see the other million Mainers here in the state of Maine come to know Jesus. Statistically, if there are a million people in this state, only 40,000 follow and know Jesus. It's enlightening, isn't it? The people in your life that you say, oh, they don't want anything to do with religion. They don't want anything to do with Jesus. Have you ever asked them? Have you ever shared what Jesus is doing in your life? Have you ever talked to them about what it means to walk with Jesus and to know him, not in a religious way, but in a relational way? I've been here. I've been in the pew where I'm like, oh, come on, preacher man. Do you know how hard it is out here? And then God got a hold of my heart. He gave me an assignment and it was in a construction trailer in Jay, Maine. And all of a sudden, these hard hat wearing tough guys started showing up in my office and talking about their broken marriages, talking about the frustration of trying to parent, talking about how burned out they were, and what did I have to offer them other than Jesus? We all are going to be given an assignment by God. Matter is, are we going to actually obey it, and are we going to walk with him? You see, the first thing I want to say to frame this entire series is that we are missionaries called to this region, to the state of Maine. I will also say the following, there it is. We're missionaries called to the state of Maine. Marcel is continuing to establish spaces here. He's gonna be asked to, at the point, to establish a 90,000 square foot building to be a sandbox for missionaries to step into. God's planted you in these towns and in these jobs and in all these areas to be missionaries in these spaces. If we consider ourselves followers of Jesus, we're sent in Jesus' name. We're also sent by his presence. We just spent all winter and spring talking about the presence of God, and it's not just simply a presence to dwell within. It's a presence that sends us. It's a presence that compels us. It's a presence of God living within us that sends us in Jesus' name. You know, last night, my daughter and I and my son, Jack Hadley, and I were reading the little kids' Bible, the picture Bible for fathers and sons to read. And there's this depiction of Philip baptizing the eunuch that we find in the book of Acts. And there's this moment where Philip is baptizing this Ethiopian. And my son, Jack, who's 2.5, he said, "Daddy, where's God?" And I said, "Well, God's in Philip." And Hadley said, "Yeah, Jack, he's right here." I said, "Well, he's all through you." And she goes, "No, Daddy, Jesus is just in my heart." I said, "No, he's all through you." She goes, "No, Daddy, he's just in my heart," right? There's this element that we try to teach our children, hey, Jesus lives in you. Jesus is in your heart. But how many of us live in that reality that Christ in us is the hope of glory, and this is what we're offering to other people? That God's presence would live in us, ordinary people, to reach other people for his kingdom. And Jesus tells us in John chapter 15, verse 5, "I'm the vine, you're simply the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." This is the fruit bearing that we see in the vision of God, that as we live in his presence, as we are surrendered to his presence, as we're in his word and we're in prayer and we're seeking him, he compels us and bears fruit in our lives. Fruit that other people around us, they'll enjoy, they'll take from, it'll sustain them, but it's Jesus working through us and in us as his followers. Using a different metaphor, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, Jesus says, come to me all you who are weary and heavy laden or burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the invitation of discipleship with Jesus. This is what it looks like to follow Jesus. He's this strong ox under one side of the yoke. We're the young ox that is coming up underneath the yoke, and he's been plowing ground for thousands of years for the kingdom of God. He's been advancing his church, advancing his mission. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And he invites you and I to come up underneath his yoke to learn from him. He invites you and I to take this light burden. He's carrying all the weight. All he asks us to do is walk with him. Many of us, we like the yoke of Jesus as long as it's static. Right? No, we're going to stay right here, right, Jesus? And he looks at us and says, "No, I have much to do, and I want you to come along." And imagine what it looks like for a strong ox to be dragging a young ox through the field. It doesn't work very good, does it? But who wins that pulling match? Jesus does. Or if the young ox says, no, I'm going to pull this way, Jesus. I think it's better. This is what I want to do. Who's going to win that pulling match? Jesus. And he's so gracious, he's so wise, he's gonna pull us along with him, but he's gonna teach us along the way. How many of us are actually willing to come up underneath that yoke? This is Jesus building his church. How many of us need to stay, we just need to stay aligned with that mission, that commission. But if we don't live into this being witnesses, if we're followers of Jesus and we say, no, I don't know about the whole witnessing thing, I don't know about the whole making discipleship thing, that's like being under his yoke and digging our heels in the ground. Doesn't go well for us, does it? But there's life to be had when we're pulling with Jesus. As he's teaching us his ways, we find rest for our souls. You see, our responsibility in this whole journey of Jesus's mission playing out here on earth, this being sent in Jesus' name, our responsibility is simply, it's twofold. We see it here in the scriptures, it's twofold. One is to be a witness, and two, to make disciples. So we're gonna say this a couple times because it's gonna embed in us. One, we're gonna say to be a witness and to make disciples. You ready? We're gonna be a witness and we're gonna make disciples. One more time. We're gonna be a witness and we're gonna make disciples. What does it mean to be a witness? Anybody ever watch those crime shows? Right, I know everybody has. Does the witness have to prepare? Does the witness have to concoct? Does the witness have to prove themselves learned? They simply have to just share what's going on, don't they? They have to simply just share what they've seen, what they've been a part of, what happened around them. Jesus looks at his disciples and just says, go be my witnesses in all of these areas. I'll take care of the rest, guys. Simply be a witness. But I think for many of us, we're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to witness about. I don't know what I'm supposed to share. Share about what Jesus is doing in you. He'll take care of the rest. Many of us have been in these situations. I feel so ill-equipped because of the problem this person's bringing me across the cubicle. Well, let me tell you about what Jesus does when I have challenges like that in my marriage. Let me tell you what Jesus does for me when I'm struggling with those levels of anxiety. Let me tell you who I was 5 years ago, but because of the grace of God, through a relationship with Jesus, my whole life has turned around. Bree simply was a witness on that video this morning. There's nothing crazy special. She didn't have to prepare. She just simply was a witness of the miraculous work of God in her life in seasons of despair and brokenness. This is what the world needs, is a church being a witness to the work of Jesus in their lives. You could have Ashley and I up here talking about our marriage or our parenting, all these things in our life over the past 7 years, and I assure you, you would realize that it's not me or Ashley that's done anything, it's Jesus in us. Amen. We're just simply supposed to be a witness. When it comes to making disciples, this is where it gets intimidating, right? We're like, well, that's the pastor's job, right? No, it's our commission. As you go, make disciples. But I want to share that many of us, we just think we have to jump right into this programmatic thing, like we keep a 12-step discipleship booklet in our back pocket and we just start handing it out. But many of you have had these moments where we've shared about what Jesus is doing in our life, what having a relationship with him is doing, and somebody inevitably either pulls you aside in that moment or after and says, hey, can I learn more? Hey, tell me more about that. I've had conversations with friends that either I went to high school with or I went to college with or I worked with in the construction industry, and many of them have sat down and said, answer me this, Keenan. They let you be a pastor? And I go, yeah, I know, it's crazy, right? Because of what Jesus has done in my life. And it begins a conversation where most of those moments, the next question is, tell me about this whole relationship with Jesus thing. This is where discipleship begins. When we're witnesses of what Jesus is doing, Jesus tells us that nobody comes to the Son unless the Father's drawing them. We're listening with a listening ear to say, if they want to know more, this is where discipleship begins. Come with me. I'm going to teach you what Jesus is teaching me. Let's catch up. Let's have a coffee. Come over to our house. When we hear the frustrated neighbors screaming at each other, maybe knocking on the door or seeing them in the lawn later on and saying, hey, why don't you guys just come over and have dinner with us? We just want to get to know you a little bit. Or that coworker who's in this seemingly chronic level of frustration and despair and hopelessness. Maybe God's given you the assignment to say, hey, how can I be praying for you? It's in these moments that they see themselves finally being seen by someone else, that we're able to begin this relationship, begin to teach them the ways of God, be able to encourage them and care for them and have compassion on them. This is what it means to be a sent person. You see, we're gonna study much of the book of Acts throughout this entire series over the course of the summer. It's gonna inform us how we're to see the movement of the church here and now, even in the 21st century. And so in Acts chapter 13, to kind of begin us, there's this powerful moment that has just had a hold of my heart for the better part of 6 months of Barnabas and Paul and how they got their assignment to go live into the mission that Jesus has for them. So in Acts chapter 13, starting in verse 2, Acts records that while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. And we think, well, this must be a really holy huddle back in the first century. This can't be all of that common, right? This must just be just a description of a one-off. You see, I think the context of where this happened is really important for us to understand. This gathering didn't happen in Jerusalem. This prayer and fasting didn't happen in the Holy Land. This happened in a pagan, broken, unreached city called Antioch in modern-day Syria. It's a city that was steeped in Greco-Roman values. It's where fleshly indulgences and Greek sports ruled the air. Sounds like Boston and Portland, right? Eat anything you want, sleep with anybody you want, have whatever you want, just make sure you don't miss the Patriots game. Make sure you don't miss the Celtics in the finals. Make sure you watch every game of the Sox series, right? There's this magnetism into the culture that's being found in yet one of the most influential churches in all of the Mediterranean Rim was birthed here, sustained here, resourced here to be able to impact greater parts of all of the Mediterranean because of faithful followers of Jesus. They were a minority, but they were potent. They were a minority, but they committed to prayer and fasting, and they heard from the Holy Spirit, and they used this outpost of mission north of Jerusalem. They used this as a place for not only receiving missionaries, but encouraging them, worshiping with them, and sending them into the nations. And this is where we see them praying and fasting, and they hear from the Holy Spirit. So picking up in verse 4, the two of them sent on their way by the Holy Spirit. What would it be like to just know, like, hey, you and I, we're sent on our way by the Holy Spirit? That'd be kind of wind in your sails, wouldn't it? Sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues, and John was with them as their helper. And this is John Mark, the one who went on to write the book of Mark with the help of Peter, right? There's these titans in the faith, but they're walking by faith, just by the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. They're sent on their way to reach unreached people, people that they only know all they can do is be a witness. So they show up in their synagogues and they begin proclaiming the word of God. They begin just sharing what God's done in their midst. They begin sharing how Jesus fulfilled the scriptures. They begin sharing what they've come to believe. That was their responsibility. And then going down further in Acts chapter 13 and verse 42, after Paul and Barnabas make a habit of this, there's this moment where discipleship begins. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. This is discipleship. We chalk it up to some church program. We try to download a PDF, or we try to work through all of these systems and processes. It's simply relationship with each other, encouraging one another and urging one another to walk and live in relationship with Jesus. This is the mission Jesus has for us as a church. Too many of us look at this as just a gathering. The church is something I attend. It's something I go to. It's something I belong to. It's something I'm a member of. But we're meant to live on mission, right? So I went to Maine Maritime. Many of you know that. And If there's anybody from Maine Maritime in the house, glad to be your alumnus. Many of you will remember, the Maritime Academies have like the worst basic training boot camp ever. Not in terms of intensity, kind of in like sense of like in foolishness. We're like, what are we doing? Trying to play Navy here? Right? But for the first 10 days on campus, they're marching you around. They're making you act like you're in the Navy. They do all of these things where you start buying into, this is really incredible. I'm going to become a merchant marine. And then the fall semester kicks off and you start getting into classrooms and you start kind of getting indoctrinated into the culture of the academy. You start understanding, I'm a sailor. I'm going to be a merchant marine. I'm going to be on ocean going vessels. I'm going to travel the world, but we're stuck in a book and we're stuck in a classroom. And then the second semester rolls around and now all of your friends from other colleges that you went to high school with are all asking you what you're going to do for the summer. And while they're all going to party it up and have part-time jobs and enjoy the summer, you tell them, I'm going to be on a boat for 2 months. Trapped on a 500-foot boat. But you think, for some reason, you think, oh, I'm a sailor. I know who I am. I know what I know. And you start walking down the dock to get onto that boat, and that's when reality starts sinking in. This thing's actually going to leave the dock. This thing that's been tied up to this pier for the last year of my life is actually going to turn on and leave the bay. And it's when you start realizing this is what we've been training for. This is what we've been preparing for. This is what all this classroom work is meant for. And then the boat leaves the dock and you begin recognizing, now I'm truly learning. Now I'm truly living into what we've come to understand. Now I'm actually able to put this stuff into practice. Now I'm able to actually live into my purpose. I now feel like and know this is what I'm made for. I think the church just expects to stay on the dock. I think many in the church are comfortable in the classroom. I think many in the church are okay with doing the cadences and marching around, but don't put me on that boat. Don't make me go live on mission. Don't send me out there. I'm not prepared. I'm more about head knowledge and understanding. I never want to live into it. This is the death of the movement of Jesus that we as a church can be culpable with if we just simply choose to stay on the dock. New England was known for the Great Awakenings less than 300 years ago. And now this region is full of empty, run down church buildings, and it looks like a graveyard. And I believe it's because the church chose to stay on the dock. I believe it's because the church chose to not live on mission. The church forgot to live in the word. The church forgot to get on their knees. The church forgot to see the region they lived in as a mission field for God's grace and goodness to fill. They forgot to be a witness of what God's doing in their life. They forgot to be making disciples, resilient followers of Jesus. They forgot to get on the boat so that it could leave on mission. And for us here at East Point Christian Church, we're getting on that boat. And that boat's going to leave the dock. And we're going into this summer. And we are planning on living on mission for those million Mainers, for those 365,000 people that live in a 40-mile radius that need to know the name of Jesus. And it's not going to happen in this auditorium. It's not going to happen in this auditorium. It's going to happen out there. So when you leave this summer, and you're like, hey, I can't make it to church for a couple weeks. We're going away. I'm like, I'm praying for you as you share the gospel every Sunday. We're praying for you on Sunday. We're praying for you as you're living on mission. And I'm serious. As we go, this place is just but an outpost like Antioch. It's just a place to be encouraged and equipped and worshiped. But go. Be sent. Man, I challenge half of you. Go down to Old Orchard Beach. Good luck. We're praying for you. Minister. Live into the calling God has. Ask for the assignment and live into it. And many of you are like, oh, Keenan, what does this even look like? How could, this seems such like a tall order. I'm just simply trying to make it here. Sunday after Sunday, just trying to be the dad, just trying to be the mom, trying to make it day in and day out, trying to navigate my family to all of that. I get that. But Jesus calls us to more. There was a man named Raymond Moody that lives in one of the towns up on the mid-coast. It's either Unity, Freedom, Liberty, one of those towns up there in that mid-coast region. And he was the second engineer at Maine Maritime Academy. Simple man, ordinary man. 20 years before he took that job, his life was marked with alcoholism, drunkenness, womanizing, broken man. And he was trying to live two lives of trying to live a professional career as a merchant marine and also live into the indulgences of his flesh. And he got to the point where he came into his own rack and he said, God, either take me or save me. I can't keep living like this. And God chose the latter. He saved him. By his grace, he entered Ray Moody's life, and Ray Moody came to not only know Jesus, but to live on assignment and on mission for the rest of his life. And so I came to know Ray Moody when he was in his office on the training ship, and I would pass by and I would hear Mr. Eaton, and I'd poke my head in thinking I was in trouble. He'd say, I just need you to know that Jesus loves you. And now Mr. Moody, he knew all the implications of working for a state-funded school and talking about Jesus. He didn't care. He would grab so many of my classmates that would dismiss him, and he'd say, Mr. Mecklen, I just need you to know God loves you so much he sent his son to die for you. We've got our hands on electrical cabinets. We're like, Mr. Moody, don't distract us. We don't want to get electrocuted, right? And he would constantly come around all of us young engineers, and he would try to pour God's love into our lives and try to help us understand. And after a while, Mr. Moody caught on to the worst kept secret I had in my life. I grew up in the church, and I was like fresh meat for Mr. Moody. So every single week into the beginning of my freshman cruise, as we're cruising across the ocean, Mr. Moody would say, Mr. Eaton, we'll see you at our Bible study this week. I'd say, yeah, and I wouldn't go. Next week would come on, Mr. Eaton, we'll see you down in the classroom for our Bible study this week. Yeah. It was like week 3 or 4, he finally looked me in the eyes. He said, Mr. Eaton, it would be good of you to show up to our Bible study this week. And he had this connection with my soul through those eyes of his, and I knew I should probably show up into the dungeon of that boat in that dark, musty classroom where I walked in and there was another dozen or so students and he had the Bible open. And I remember to this day, Ray Moody was teaching on Jesus' crucifixion in Psalm 22 and the curse that Jesus took for us when he cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And as Ray unpacked that text, he was looking into my eyes as if he was trying to communicate, this gospel is for you, young man. Jesus took the curse of God upon himself so that you could live into the blessing of God that he has prepared for you. And I wish in that moment that I fully understood what he was talking about. I still remember it. It was a seed that he planted in my life. Mr. Moody would constantly be a witness of Jesus' love in his life, sharing his testimony with anybody that would listen. And then anyone who had perked up ears, who had ears to hear, he said, come, let me show you the ways of Jesus. And just a couple years ago, when we were up in Rockland, there was a memorial that was built for the El Faro, the boat that I lost a close friend of mine on in 2015. 33 sailors were lost at sea. And so we gathered up in Rockland to celebrate this memorial that they were putting together. And I was one of many in the crowd. And all of a sudden, wouldn't you know it, Ray Moody steps up to the front of this gathering. And he's the one they asked to ring the 33 bell ring for every soul lost on that boat. And as he was ringing that bell, his eyes locked with mine, and a little smirk came across his face. And he made a beeline for me after that gathering. He had this beaming grin. And he took my hand in his two calloused old engineer's hands. And he said, Mr. Eaton, is it true? Somebody told me you're a pastor. With tears in his eyes. I said, yeah, Ray, could you imagine they'd let me be a pastor? And all he could say was, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Because that man knew that his assignment His assignment at Maine Maritime was not for naught. There's so many of us that he planted seeds in our hearts that have flourished, and not everybody's a pastor, but many of us have a new conviction in our heart because of the witness that he left on our lives. A transformed life is available for us in Christ Jesus. All Ray Moody had to be was obedient to the Holy Spirit's assignment in his life. If you and I would come up under the yoke of Jesus and just be obedient to the assignment he has for us, Jesus will take care of the rest. He will build his church. The gates of hell here in Greater Portland will not prevail against it. But we are called to be witnesses and to make disciples. We're called to be simple, ordinary Ray Moody's in all of the spaces God has entrusted us to just simply bear witness to what Jesus is doing in our life. To simply make disciples of those who are intrigued and want to go on the journey with us. Again, Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And Ray Moody surely did. And you will be my witness for him in Castine, Maine, and all across the globe for these young sailors that are trapped on this boat. And praise God that he was faithful. I praise God every day that he was faithful. And so for you, what's God calling you to? I'm gonna throw a slide up here on the screen, and I encourage you to ask yourself this question here in this moment. Ask these questions, take a picture of it, meditate on it this week, because this is the trajectory of this summer for us as a local church. We're not trying to grow attendance in this room. We're not trying to grow programmatic engagement. We're trying to send you into the spaces God has prepared for you to be obedient to his Holy Spirit, because that's how he builds his church. And so ask yourself, what's Holy Spirit telling me is my missional assignment this summer? What is it? Where is it? Who is it? When is it? He'll be faithful. Oh, he'll be faithful to reveal that. I assure you. Holy Spirit, increase in me a surrendered desire for your presence. I want to come up under that yoke with Jesus, surrendering my life, walking with him. And what's my next step of obedience? What are you asking me to do? What are you asking me to say to this person? How would you have me respond in this situation? How can I engage my neighbors over the summer? How can I be a witness of what you're doing in my life, Jesus? And if you would, may I challenge you, read and pray through the book of Acts this summer with us. It's 28 chapters. Read a chapter a day and just keep going back through it. 3 months, just journeying with us, letting the book of Acts become this example, this beautiful description of what the church living on mission looks like. Because they knew what Jesus had done. They were willing to be witnesses. They even went to lengths to make disciples and raise up church planters. And isn't it funny that when Jesus lived his life here on earth, he was hung on a cross outside of Jerusalem under the hand of a Roman governor because Rome was the powerful empire of the day. And yet when Jesus rose from the dead, it was a matter of just a couple hundred years that Rome became the capital of Christianity. And the Christians didn't pick up a sword. They didn't pick up a ballot. All they were witnesses that made disciples. God will advance his church. Jesus is building it day by day. Are we gonna be a part of it here at East Point Christian Church? Are we gonna live sent and on mission for him? And so we'll take communion together today as a symbol of saying, Jesus, we recognize what you've done for us. We receive the gift poured out on that cross. And maybe you're not ready to take that this morning. That's okay. Don't take it out of obligation. Take it out of reverence for what Jesus has done. That last night with his disciples, he took the bread that was on the table. He held it up. He blessed it before the Lord and he broke it. And he looked at his disciples and he said, this is my body, a symbol of my body, broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me. And this cup, the cup of the new covenant, the new way, the new access to God's love poured out on us by Jesus' blood on the cross. I'll advance my church, and it's not through lineage or descendants. It's through conviction and being born again by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus took that cup. He blessed it. He held it up. And he said, this is my blood poured out for you. Drink this in remembrance of me. Thank you, Jesus. So as we close, for those of you that are bold enough, if you desire to be a follower of Jesus sent on mission this summer, tied into this series, tied into what we're doing, and you want to be equipped and you want to see your life as a mission field, I'm just going to ask you to stand up. Identify yourself. I'm going to out you if that's what you want. And if not, that's okay. Stay seated. But if you want to live on mission, if you want to live sent in Jesus' name for the region here, man, I want to pray for you. I want to thank you. This is the church living into mission. And so I'm just going to come before the Father. Father, for all of those that are standing today, Father, I pray for your disciples. I pray that you give them an assignment by your Spirit that is a name, that is a face, that's a location, that is an opportunity before them that only they have. Father, I pray for their obedience. I pray for their surrendered hearts, taking up your yoke, Jesus, just walking with you as you build your church, as you redeem those that you're calling to yourself. Father, I pray you use them as agents in your assignments and in your mission as you renew Greater Portland, as you renew Southern Maine, as you work up and through the entire state of Maine, drawing men and women to yourself through these people. Father, would we be a church that's on mission with you? Would we give you all the glory, celebrating what you're doing week after week as we see you fulfill the Great Commission through us? Oh, Lord, we love you. We thank you for yourself. We thank you for your presence in our midst, and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.